It's What's New from WBAA Classical. I'm John Clare. In the early 20th century, we started using the term melting pot more widely, even though it was used to describe America in the 1780s. That's mostly due to a play titled The Melting Pot. In it, the protagonist writes a symphony expressing hope for a world in which all ethnicity has melted away. Years later, the movie Mr. Holland's Opus tells the story of a dedicated but frustrated teacher who composes the American Symphony. Fast forward to 2011, and Adam Schoenberg writes American Symphony, inspired by the 2008 U.S. election. We'll speak to some talented conductors in America's melting pot from Finland and Poland, plus the young composer Adam Schoenberg on today's What's New. Music critic and writer Alex Ross has called the Minnesota Orchestra the greatest orchestra in the world. They have a proud tradition and have recorded a wide range of music. I spoke with Osmo Vanska about their BIS release called Migrations.
It's everyday work for us. We have to do hard work every week to put the programs together. But you're right, it's not an easy work to put together. It's always a challenge, but we just worked hard, and the orchestra is playing really well, so that's not a problem. And I think that this is a live recording edited from three different performances, and you can hear that we had a good time.
How lovely is it to have included the national anthem, Finlandia, on this release? Again, such a live recording. It's stunning to hear this piece and all of these works played so incredibly well from live performances. But this had to be a lot of fun to include this version of Finlandia.
Yeah, you are right. It's always good to have the choir there. Even the orchestra version, as Sibelius wrote, is very strong. And he never wrote the choral part of that, but he agreed when the choir people ask, is it possible to add the text? There's Mr. Koskenniemi who had written the text for the chorus parts, and Sibelius agreed that. So it's, in a way, it's such kind of, it's okay to perform that way. There is a version when the children's choir is doing the hymn, and now with the male choir. It's very strong. It gives even more emotional feelings, and I have to say that especially in the very end. Well, the hymn is always very touching, but in the very end when the male choir is singing those last bars of the work, it's very, very strong version.
Conductor Osmo Vanska. Here he is, joined by the Minnesota Orchestra and YL Male Voice Choir performing Finlandia on What's New. Finlandia, a bonus live track included on a BIS release from January 2017, sung by the YL Male Voice Choir, the Minnesota Orchestra, and conductor Osmo Vanska on What's New. Antonín Dvořák's final symphony has over 200 recordings listed on Archive Music. It's the sophomore release of Krzysztof Urbanski with the Hamburg-based Elbphilharmonie. I spoke with him about recording the New World Symphony,
which in my opinion is one of the greatest masterpieces in music ever. And in his Ninth Symphony, he really managed, well, to simplify his language, the harmonies, and most importantly, the construction and architecture of the whole symphony. So in my personal opinion, his Ninth Symphony is the most coherent symphony ever. Because you can clearly hear that all the motifs that exist from the first till the last movement are combined. So it's not even four movements. I kind of think of this symphony as a one movement symphony, almost. Because already in second movement, he's quoting the motifs from the first, from pam pa 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 ram pa 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 pa. It exists in one, there is one outburst forte in the middle of the second movement. In the third movement, again, he's quoting second movement and first movement, and in the last movement, he's quoting all the three previous. So this is kind of a consequence. So it is very clear that while writing, he always had this amazingly long arc that lasts for 45 minutes from the first till the last note. And this is so brilliant, and it is so simple. Yeah, it is so simple that for me, this simplicity was the most important factor. And actually, this was the reason why I said my next disc has to be Dvořák 9. And I was like, I was dreaming about recording it for so many years, because several years ago I did research, and when I was in New York, with New York Philharmonic, I spent some time in their library. And Philharmonic Library, they have original parts that were used for the premiere in 1896. And I studied every single part. So it was fascinating really to see, because there are so many things added with blue pencil, with red pencil, so someone did some changes. But the most fascinating thing for me was to see the manuscript. I did not have a chance to have the real manuscript, the original one, but I had the facsimile. So for me, all the content and information was there. And for me, this was discovery. Look, for instance, there are so many things that editors in the future, even in Urtext editions, that they took liberty of. Like, for instance, my discovery of the fact that the first four bars of the scherzo are to be omitted when the repeat comes. You know, but this changed the whole structure of the melody, and I think actually it makes it better. So for me, to emphasize this simplicity and all the little discoveries I found, like for instance, the fact that there is a famous second flute solo, you know, famous second flute solo in the first movement, the second part of the second subject is it's played by second flute. And I was always thinking, why did he ask? Because in the exposition, it is first flute. But when it comes in recap, it's the second flute. And why second flute whilst first flute is sitting and doing nothing? Okay, one might say, maybe color. Or maybe he had an affair with a second flutist of New York Philharmonic and he wanted to... Okay, whatever reason. The reason is so simple. It's, he put it in the manuscript in the wrong bar. So all the solo was written one bar too early, so he had to cross it out, and not to repeat the whole page from scratch, he just used the next available stave. And next available stave was the second flute, and people took it that he designed it for the second flute, which is not true. It should be the same color. So these are, for instance, things I wanted to put as a part of this recording, you know? So for me, this was a fascinating process to do it with Endear and Philharmonic Orchestra. It was great fun, and I'm very glad that I could finally record that piece.
Conductor Christoph Urbanski. From February 2017, this is a recording of the Elbphilharmonie and Christoph Urbanski and Antonín Dvořák's Symphony No. 9 from the New World on What's New. From the New World, Antonín Dvořák's Symphony No. 9 in E minor with Christoph Urbanski and the Elbphilharmonie on What's New. When we return, the music of an Atlanta school composer, Adam Schoenberg, on What's New. ¶¶ It's What's New. I'm your host, John Clare. Coming up, we'll speak with Adam Schoenberg about his music, art, and composing for film. But first, let's hear Schoenberg's American Symphony. It's an orchestral work from 2011 that was inspired by the 2008 election and patriotic feelings. This June 2017 release features an arrangement for wind band with the North Texas Wind Symphony and conductor Eugene Couperin on What's New. American Symphony by Adam Schoenberg on What's New. We heard an arrangement of that orchestra work for band with Eugene Couperin and the North Texas Wind Symphony.
Well, I mean, I've always been drawn to the visual arts. Before I was even considering becoming a composer, I always thought about either becoming an architect or a judge.
That's Adam Schoenberg.
And when Michael Stern commissioned Finding Rothko, you know, one of the great things about being a student in New York City is you have access to all of the museums, and usually your college ID would give you free admission into a specific museum. And so that's when I discovered Mark Rothko for the first time, and I was just enraptured by the vibrancy of the color, of his color spectrum, and how it just hit you in the face, and how large the canvases are. Not everyone knows that those paintings are so gigantic. And they're very profound, and so for me, I had this reaction to these paintings, and I felt that I could set music to them. You know, writing music in terms of these orchestral pieces based on pre-existing artworks is very different than writing a film score, because at the end of the day, I'm not really setting the paintings or the photographs or the sculptures. They really serve more as a muse and as initial inspiration, and the music can stand on its own and don't really need the images, although I'm always happy when an orchestra projects the images to show the audience and the orchestra how it came about. Yeah, I guess I've always just been drawn to other art forms. And with film composing, you know, I haven't done a lot of it. I've done two independent features and several shorts, but I love how collaborative that aspect is, because when you're writing a piece for an ensemble, you're really on your own. And you know, the commissioning organization sets the parameters. We want it to be 20 to 25 minutes long, and these are the instruments that you have, and go at it. Unless there's a very specific theme, or if the commission is for someone specifically, like a birthday or a celebration. But with a film score, you're really at service to the image, and you're at service to the producer, the producers and the director, and so it's a different type of dynamic.
Composer Adam Schoenberg on What's New. This is What's New. I'm John Clare. In January 2017, the Kansas City Symphony released an all Adam Schoenberg CD on Reference Recordings. This is Picture Studies with conductor Michael Stern and the Kansas City Symphony on What's New. Adam Schoenberg's Picture Studies, written in 2012. We heard a reference recording with the Kansas City Symphony and Michael Stern on What's New. Adam, congratulations on this new release with the Kansas City Symphony. I know you'd had a great relationship with them sort of leading up to this. How is it to finally have this out?
It's a gift. I mean, it's been in the works for such a long time. We recorded back in June of 2014, and it got released 2.5 years later. So I've been anxiously waiting for the arrival, and now it is here.
It's interesting. I think that there are some earlier works of yours on here and some newer works that they'd commissioned. So I'm sure it's not, you know, it's not like it's not your music. But, you know, as you grow as a composer and write, how is it to have these earlier pieces on here?
Yeah, you know, I think composers sort of go back and forth in terms of, you know, should you continue, keep revising? Do you let go and accept that that's, you know, who you that is who you were in that during that period of time? I think for me, I like that it has works from my student days. I wrote Finding Rothko during, I think, the first year of the doctoral program at Juilliard when I was studying with John Corigliano, maybe the second year. And then American Symphony was commissioned before I had graduated from Juilliard, but I finished it right upon graduation. And then Picture Studies was one of the first, I guess, commissions after a graduate. And so it does span the period of student days to emerging professional days. And you will see definitely you'll see how the craft develops between the pieces and how more comfortable I become with orchestrating. Because orchestrating in itself is it's such a beast. You have this infinite palette of color and sound, and how do you want instruments to blend or double or not double, what type of auxiliary instruments, what type of mutes, and lots of questions that have to be asked. And when you're young, I think you live in, or at least for me, I can only speak for myself, there was certainly a substantial amount of insecurity and questions. And from where I am today, from where I were 10 years ago or 11 years ago when I wrote Finding Rothko, I certainly feel more confident in my ability. But, you know, you're forever a student, so.
It's so nice to talk to you today. I'm curious, you're now teaching as well and have had such great instruction. How is it to sort of, you know, turn the tables now and work with young composers?
I love to teach. You know, John Corigliano and Robert Beezer were such great mentors to me and very different types of teachers. And so I learned from them in terms of their approaches, their approach and their philosophy. And, you know, I taught at UCLA for 4 years, and now I run the composition program at Occidental College, which is the only liberal arts college in Los Angeles, actually in LA. And it's a great institution. And, you know, I'm a product of a liberal arts education, even though I transferred to the conservatory at Oberlin. I first started off in the college, and I like a liberal arts institution. And teaching is such a philosophical process and communication. And of course, you have to get very technical as well, but it's my job to open pathways for the composers. Because even me today, the beauties of teaching is I learn so much from my students because they come in and they're stuck in a specific moment. And, you know, they show me the music and I look at it and I see 15 different ways it can go, but they're so locked in just, you know, on one path. And that's how I am when I compose. I get so locked in one direction and it's hard to see out the window. And so now after giving them advice, I have now taught myself that when I am trapped, I actually can, you know, start to look more in a more dimensional manner, and maybe I can find a more profound direction.
Well, Adam, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for your time, John. I really appreciate it.
Composer Adam Schoenberg on What's New. What's New is a production of WBAA, a listener-supported broadcast service of Purdue University. Production assistance from Erica Yon and Kevin Howard. The executive producer is Greg Kostraba, and I'm your host and creator, John Clare. Thanks for listening to What's New.